And that's, my grandma loved that. I would bring it to her. But also, she would do that just naturally. I'm assuming you kind of planned what the kitchen sink would be.
Well, I have a recipe I found.
In there, okay. Mm-hmm. She would just throw in anything. So she would make a chocolate chip cookie that sometimes had Rice Krispies.
Oh, she was creative, sure.
Mm-hmm. A little burnt, but you know. Yeah.
So Nancy, I'm a little bit confused why it says it's a clear wrapping and it says no peeking. Does that mean we can't even look?
Oh, you can look. It's just...
Okay, I just want
just
to follow...
Just a Christmas sticker.
I want to follow rules.
Okay.
So tell us about this process. I can't imagine... Is this like a whole day event or is it over several days or you say, honey?
Well, it's several days. Several.
There's no way you're going to make all those cookies in one day.
Just the general question.
Actually, I did three kinds of cookies last weekend on, was it Saturday or Sunday? Wow. One day I did three and the other day I did two and then I think I did one on Monday.
Wow.
Is there any enjoyment in it or is it just labor?
It's both.
The cleanup but is it's hard.
It's tradition. That's why you do it kind of?
Well, I'll tell you why I started. Years and years ago, my husband was in the Navy and we lived in Charleston, South Carolina. And his mother sent us a big tin of cookies. Mm. Oh man, what a treat. And she was a fabulous baker.
Mm.
And my mother was a good baker too. So then over the years, I kind of found some recipes I liked and my kids love them. I mail them to my children.
Mm.
If I didn't mail cookies to my children, I would be in big trouble.
And now the grandchildren love them, no doubt.
Sure.
So
sure.
This has got to continue.
Yes. And I also mail them to relatives that don't bake.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't mail them to people that do bake because, I'd be baking forever.
You're headed to the post office. You better bring some.
Oh, I already got them in the mail.
Okay. I was going to say, you probably should bring some cookies for them when you bring all these boxes in.
Right.
So Heidi, obviously, she's assuming we don't bake.
I don't know how I started coming here. How did I?
Because I groveled too much.
Yeah, right.
He was a groveler. Yeah.
Well,
but anyway.
But, you know. That's one of the, Heidi asked me about my mom, I love my mom. And my mind always goes to her baking stuff.
Sure.
And your kids and your grandkids will never forget that.
Yes.
So that when you're laboring and working on it, you're making just a bunch of memories.
Billy has already asked me, what did you make this year, Mom?
Oh my gosh. So I think, you know, the dream would be, right, if we could bake the cookies, but then an elf came in and cleaned up the kitchen.
Right.
Especially in between each bat.
Yes.
The kind of cookie. Because it's very messy. I mean, flour, powdered sugar, and then the bowls.
Yes.
I mean, you need them for other things, and it's just...
Here's the other trick. I try to bake them ahead of time so I can freeze them so I'm not so busy right before Christmas.
Yep.
But you don't want to bake them too early because then they'll be stale.
You're right.
You know, so I put them in the freezer and like I took yours out this morning. I hope they taste okay.
Oh, you want to take a taste test on the radio?
Take a taste, John.
Oh, my God.
What will be his first one?
Spritz, I'm sure.
We're hearing from lots of people this morning. They're texting in Christmas cookies.
Sorry, they're taped on the bottom.
Peanut butter kisses. You can keep the rest is what the listener said. Though I do appreciate the tradition and effort involved with all the others. Don from St. Paul Midway. Vincent is listening in Lafayette, Indiana. He said, Pizzelle. My grandma says, hold my red wine. She'd spend most of a week turning several dozen eggs, pounds of butter and sugar into these. She'd make anise flavored. Many, many, many dozens as gifts to friends and family. She's dead now. I need to make a painting of her and her Pizzelle iron. How cool. Oh, he just sent a beautiful photo too. What'd you try?
A spritz, of course, the green tree.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Oh, so good.
What is it about spritz you love?
Oh.
Because I didn't grow up with spritzes.
Obviously the taste.
The butter.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Almond in it?
Yes.
Almond extract, yeah.
Oh, yeah, butter and almond. There you go.
What brings us to what Heidi had with Amy Thielen yesterday, mm-hmm. Do you use... the best butter you can get, or
yes,
are you cheap?
I've discovered that too. That there's a difference in butter,
and I guess this time of year, Land O'Lakes has a holiday butter that's better.
Really?
I haven't either.
Oh, too late now.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, yes, big difference.
I got to stop being cheap. I'm gonna make some cookies tonight. I'm gonna get some good butter.
Yep.
And then, are you take the knife on the top of a one cup and stuff? I mean, are you shoot from the?
Well, a stick of butter is half a cup.
No, I know, but if you're doing sugar or something, then he asks for a cup.
It's science. You can't mess around with that, John.
You have to be pretty careful, John.
Because
The
texture is going to be totally different if you don't follow the tried and true recipe.
John, have you never made cookies?
Yeah, I have. Yep. Christmas sugar cookies where you roll them out and flour. Oh,
okay.
And my mom used to make them, and my mom liked things crisp. So hers would be very thin, and I like them soft. So I would make all this stuff, roll it out, and I'd get like 12. When my mom would get 30, I'd get like 12 because I liked them thick. Mm-hmm. And then, like Heidi remembers, I love the BBs. And we talked about this at the dinner party. Nobody remembers BBs. You remember BBs silver, as decorating?
Silver balls.
They just look like BBs.
Oh, I know what they look like, but aren't they kind of hard?
Yeah, well, when you're a kid, I mean, they're
yeah,
BBs.
How's your dentist feel about your BBs in right. early in life?
Not good.
All right. Now,
okay. Heidi, would you like to try one live on the air?
Yeah, I think I want the Swedish.
Oh, the Swedish cream wafer?
Yep, that is my favorite. Pink? Yeah, of course, I'm a pink lady.
Okay, it's okay if I touch one?
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go. Swedish
cream wafer.
Yeah, those are good too.
Mm-hmm. I can taste the good butter. That's fantastic.
Okay.
And then the frosting, is it a special frosting or not necessarily?
The red ones are almond flavored.
Mm-hmm.
The white ones are just...
A text just came in. You'll appreciate, Nancy.
Okay.
My wife said she learned how to swear from her mother when her mother made Fritz cookies. But despite that, my wife still makes them today.
Yeah, they are a treat.
So how many... Anyway, thank you so much. I mean, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very special.
You're welcome.
I just remembered last year we got mad because John walked out with the plate.
I didn't take the whole plate. I set some aside.
No, he didn't, because we grabbed them and told them those aren't just for you, John.
Well,
that's why I put extra spritz.
Yeah, she didn't say John this time.
But it's because he loves them.
Yes.
It's not because he's a generous man.
So before we let you go on What's for Breakfast, we were rattling off some names of colognes and what do women call them? What is it? What
perfume.
Perfume. Did you ever like sprinkle Charlie on your neck or anything like that? Or
Jean Nitte?
I have to admit, yes, I did.
Loves Baby Soft? Do you remember that one?
I remember the name, but I did not have that.
Oof, that was not. But I loved it, but it was terrible. Yeah.
So do men still put cologne on, and do women put perfume on still?
I mean, of course.
I mean, is it a staple? It's like you're not, if you're going out in the town or you're going over to friends, it's just a necessary thing.
I don't mean to be rude, but John, does your nose not work? I mean, don't you smell people? Some people are very perfume heavy.
Well,
and
I can smell
heavy.
The heavy ones.
Yeah.
And maybe the other ones are just so subtle that they're... elegant.
We heard from our volunteer photographer, Lori Schall, and she asked about a Avon solid perfume pin. She had one in the shape of a gingerbread man.
A pin?
Yeah. Avon had a lot of interesting things.
So it was always perfume? You mean you put the pin on
it? It was like a little balm almost. She's got a picture of it there with the head had the perfume in it.
Well, that the conversation last night, there was a lot of Avon where there were bottles that were shaped. That's, fancy shaped bottles.
That has become a collector. People look for those old Avon bottles and
decanters.
Mm-hmm. Because they're in lots of different shapes.
So are you done cooking? Baking, excuse me.
Oh, not
really.
Not really. I think I'm going to do one or two more right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We made our day today and it was perfect because we talked cookies.
Yes.
We didn't line that up, but now it makes a lot of sense why we did it this week.
I'm so happy. Nancy.
So Vincent, who's been texting in with us about his grandma's pizzelles, he said he met Amy Adams, is that the actress?
Mm-hmm.
Never forget that she smelled like cake and flowers.
Who is this guy?
He's a photographer and a longtime member out of Indiana. So interesting.
Not a female photographer. Not a female. Who are you talking about here?
He's a male.
He's a male. Okay.
She's a female.
Okay. Wow. So Homestead Meals is our sponsor. You either get country blend cereal, wild rice pancakes. What are you thinking, Nancy?
Oh, pancakes for sure.
All right.
And do you get to see the grandkids for Christmas?
Yes.
All of them?
Coming home or are you going there?
No, just one family.
Okay.
The other family, we usually meet someplace warm in January or February.
Oh, that's smart. That's really good. Well, thank you, Nancy. You can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's good to see you guys.
I'm a little nervous about the kitchen sinks, but I will give it a go. Give it a go.
How was the coffee? Too strong?
No, it's delicious.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking sports on the Friday morning show.
You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people in the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, Sprinkled Contraband, Conversation and Events, Operating Translator, K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXC.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
We got some answers coming in on text, too. You asked about Duke Cannon, you know, and the soap.
Yeah.
The new brand of it. It's a brand of men's skincare products. They started out selling in hardware stores.
Hardware Ace stores.
In Home Depot and Lowe's several years ago. The products are pretty mainstream now. Walgreens carries quite a few of their products. Thank you, Michael, for that. I really appreciate it. And Pam just wrote in from Rockford. Pam says, two perfumes I remember are Blue Waltz and Evening in Paris. Well, you sound like a lovely lady, Pam.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds wonderful. Coming up, we're going to talk sports.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Does soap on a rope go for athletes?
Maybe. Oh, sure. I can see a whole locker room of them dangling off the shower heads.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
What was that, a distress call? It's time for another edition of the sports page. I'm John Bauer. Kyle Erickson sitting right next to me with a giant bucket of cookies in front of him. Heidi Holton, and Fred's in a car. Are you okay, Fred?
Well, I'm driving in Wisconsin, maybe 10, 15 miles south of Superior, going to Chippewa Falls for a funeral. Every radio station, including yours, and all the internet says, no snow, 0% snow in the next 3 days. Well, it's snowing hard.
Hey, I did not report no snow. We have snow here, and we're predicting it.
Yep.
just early this morning.
So. Are you?
I believe, yep.
Are you?
But I can't get you in Wisconsin, Heidi. So,
are you safe driving, or are you pulled over, or are we all good here to have a conversation?
No, I'm okay. We're on speaker.
So I'd like to. I talked to you a little bit previously, Fred, about bowl games and. Bowl games are become very different species as of the years. People don't want to play now because they don't want to get hurt when they're turning professional. But talk to us about what's going on with some of the bowl game activities, Fred.
So we got seven teams in the league, schools that have pulled out of bowl games. They don't like the bowl game they got invited to, or they're disappointed by the season, or they got too many kids that don't want to play, don't want to give up their holidays with their family and their friends and all that. And they feel like they got nothing to play for except make money for their school and their conference. And I think we've got way too many bowl games. The purpose of that is for television to make money and schools to make money. But they really don't matter. And I resent the fact that I think it's a big mistake that schools are encouraged to play weak schedules to pad their record.
Yeah,
get in the bowl game.
Get that magic six win.
Looking at you, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Did you see their schedule so Notre Dame was the biggest tantrum thrower, I think, when they didn't make it into the college football playoff. They said they're going to take their ball and go home and not play. And what would have been a really good bowl game, and then shortly after that announcement, I saw their cream puff laden schedule for next year, which is, you know, pretty transparently an effort to go undefeated and try to make it easier to get into the playoff. But
and don't they, Fred? Great. Didn't they sign a contract, a television contract, that they win 12 games, they are in like next year?
Yeah,
is that reading that right?
Yep. So it's all true. They have their own contract. And it's like they've been rewarded for not being in a conference, because when they get the money, it's all their money. They get to keep it. When Minnesota gets a few bucks for playing down in Phoenix, I think on December 26th, they get to share that with the Big 18 or whatever the Big Ten called
it. The Big 18. And the Gophers went through their annual exercise in getting snubbed and getting a worse bowl game than they probably deserve, too.
They had the rate game?
I don't know. The rate bowl game? The Wish.com bowl or whatever it is.
Let's go back to Notre Dame, though. So who makes that decision? The athletic director? The coach? Do kids want to play in a bowl game, or they'd rather go home for Christmas? How does that work?
Yeah, I think the coach goes to the AD, and the AD goes to one of the vice presidents, or maybe even the president, because we're talking money. You know, this isn't about kids or their health or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're going to make money. We're going to please our alum who might want to go to a sunny spot for the game, right? But we got kids that don't want to play, and they're angry at the powers that be for excluding them, you know, from the playoffs, from the top 12 teams. But Kyle said right. It comes off as a pout. It just does.
Yeah, for sure. Bad, bad image. So, do you ever think, Kyle, that what's this playoff? 12 teams?
Sure.
The big ones.
The big one, yeah.
It's 12.
I think it's 12.
I love an answer of sure. I thought I was asking
that clearly.
So, yeah, you were. College football is such a mess. I don't follow it like right. I used to.
So, Fred, do you think that there will be, this is ever a possibility to eliminate all these bowl games, that there will be a top tier 12 and a bottom tier 12 playoff?
There could be. I think first they'll go to 16 teams so there are no buys. Like, there's no buys in four, you know, the basketball. I think we'll go to that to make even more money, because the difference between the number four ranked team, which gets a buy, and the number five and six teams, which do not get buys, is very minimal. I mean, how can you choose between Texas Tech and Oregon, which are 4 and 5, right?
Yeah.
Both lost, I think, one game. So, but it's all about money, and it's going the wrong direction. I mean, Minnesota lost a very excellent running back the other day, frankly, because we couldn't match the NIL money that's a lump from another place are paying him.
Yeah.
Everybody understands when somebody's sitting on the bench and never plays, I'm leaving, going to another school, maybe a lesser program. But when you're playing like that kid played plenty, their number two running back, that's just about who's writing them a bigger check. Nothing else.
Yeah.
Important question, Fred. International Olympic Committee, FIFA, NCAA, which is your least favorite, worst-run sporting organization?
That is a really close call. I'm really surprised you didn't include the Mafia in with those.
that would be redundant, right?
I'm going to FIFA, right?
Oh, dark horse. I thought for sure you'd say IOC.
Yeah, I'm going to go with FIFA, who in the same day they gave a peace award to somebody that dropped bombs on boats.
Yeah,
and
a special medal, too. A very nice medal.
We've got some high school stuff we want to report.
From our senior correspondent, Scott Hall, says, Heidi and Megan, no mention of John and Kyle. My feelings are not hurt, I promise. Congratulations to two Deer River High School seniors, Lawrence Bowstring and Elisha Gochi. Lawrence and Elisha will be among 70 athletes to play in the Native All-American football game this Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Game time is 11:30.
Oh.
And senior correspondent Scott Hall very correctly notes that Deer River High School football is perennially one of the best single-A programs in the state. So congrats to those folks and to the coaches and to the fans who support them.
And I've got another congratulations. BHS Bemidji High School girls hockey are ranked number one in the state. And
they play
number two Holy Family tonight at 6 p.m. in Bemidji. Go Jacks.
Oh, yes.
So I'd like to venture into something. This is coming from being a basketball coach and knowing how hard it is to coach and knowing how much grief you get. I don't know did either of you, Fred, did you watch University of Minnesota women?
I heard the rundown of the epic collapse.
I did, and that was terrible.
I'm going to set the stage. They're playing number 6, Maryland, who always just pounds the Gophers. The Gophers are up by 9 with 54 seconds left. So Maryland comes down and scores an and one. And an and one means the person got fouled. They go to the free throw line. They made the free throw. They inbound the ball. They got it stolen. The girl makes the shot, and she got fouled. So that's 6 points in 8 seconds. And so then it's just unbelievable what happens. So here's the deal. I blame it totally on the coach. And now maybe the assistant coaches aren't in her ear. When you're a coach, you get caught up, you get excited. But they had a timeout to give, all right? She had a timeout to take. And when you take the timeout, you can get the ball at half court, which means a whole lot more room to get the ball in. And time will run off the clock if they happen to get a steal, et cetera, et cetera. So they lose the basketball game because we got the ball back. We're up by one, and we're trying to run the clock out, panic-stricken, threw the ball away on a back cut. They go down and score, and they lose the game. So they scored 10 points in 54 seconds. Here's my beef. She should have known that. She should have known that right away. The first one maybe is okay, but not the second one. But it happened so fast that it got in trouble. Here's another thing, Kyle and Fred, that I have a problem with. Why, when we inbound the ball, do we have 9 players within a confines of the free throw line? Why don't you spread out? I remember we used to play a community college team that when they had to get the ball in, they would put 2 people down deep and force you to go guard them.
Yep.
And leave room.
Opens up the back
court. It's just, and I feel so bad because it is. It's just panic stricken. And it was just a heartbreaking loss. And the coach was so proud of their efforts. Yeah, I guess. But it was just painful. Thoughts? I don't know. Kyle? You didn't see it.
I didn't see it. I read the write-up, and it's Minnesota sports have a long storied history of failing to close out games. So another chapter.
And then Fred, yesterday or the day before, I was watching Gophers play Purdue down by 2 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Remarkable accomplishment. The Gophers didn't score for 6 minutes.
Oof.
They got just thrashed because they went to the big men. It just epitomizes Gopher athletics, I think. Fred, you
well, I saw the women's game, and she had to call a timeout after that first steal. I mean, Maryland stole the ball 3 times in a row. And remember, everybody, the Maryland coach used to be the coach of Minnesota. Let's keep that in mind, Cheryl Freese. And it's also an example. This is exactly why coaches, you go to any clinic, they'll say, save your timeout. Mm-hmm. Don't blow a timeout because you're mad at some player or whatever. You know, you got so many whistles and so many TV stuff. So you get 5 timeouts plus the 4 quarters, you know, in women.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, save some timeouts. You can't, she put herself in a position where she didn't want to give up her last one, and it cost them the game. It's as simple as that.
Not only did the players panic, she panicked. And I'm not beating her up. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not easy. It's crazy. It's bedlam. This crazy stuff's happening. So anyway.
Well, look, like I told you in the email, John, what do you expect for $2 million a year salary?
Oh, boy. No more comments on that one?
I think we've
who
properly.
Are the Gophers, who are
properly.
The Gophers playing in the bowl game? New Mexico State? Is that right?
Yeah, because Iowa State pulled out.
And Iowa State pulled out because they don't have enough healthy people, or they just didn't want to play?
Yeah, they said we don't have enough people. So University of New Mexico, and the game's in Phoenix, so a lot less driving for them. So it's the same old story. I already got votes because I'm faculty and because I'm alum. Say, come to Phoenix. Come enjoy the sun. Root for the Gophers. Skyuma. Yeah, right. I think I'll pass. Stay here. You know, maybe go to a high school game.
So, Kyle, what's going on with the Timberwolves? I saw they got beat by Phoenix. Phoenix is darn good, but then Phoenix got beat by 49 the next couple nights by Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City is just head and shoulders above the rest
of the
league.
One loss still.
Yeah, the Wolves played really well against Phoenix. This is twice in a row where they've just been neck and neck with the Suns the whole game, and then Phoenix just makes one more play down the stretch and closes it out. The interesting thing from this Wolves game was the apparent loss of confidence in the development of Rob Dillingham, yep. and they brought the very underutilized Bones Highland off the bench, and he played really well.
He did.
You know, got into the paint and created shots for other people, knocked down some shots, a lot of energy, good defense. So I think we're probably going to see some changes in the rotation for him and give Bones a little run. Anthony Edwards is nursing a little bit of a foot injury. We know that they tend to struggle without Edwards as the straw stirring the drink. They play, I think, Golden State tonight.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? So we'll see. They're playing really good basketball. And it's unfortunate that they seem to be gelling and playing pretty well in a year where the whole league is looking up at OKC wondering what in the world they're going to do about them.
Yeah. I just got this nasty text from a listener who happens to be my son. Suns had all their studs out. Absolutely pathetic. They don't have to.
I want to ask you guys a question, all of you, about Dillingham. He's definitely, why isn't he, are they disappointed? Did they make a draft mistake? Because he isn't playing as well as his draft position would indicate. He was a high first round pick, guys.
Eighth in the draft, I think, they traded up from. So the NBA draft, to me, is more of a crapshoot than just about any other league. And Dillingham is a little undersized. He's not a very big guy. He's quick, but not like Ja Morant, Allen Iverson, you know, can get by anybody quick.
Yeah, he can't break someone down.
Yeah, he can't really break him down. He doesn't have a really quick release on his shot, and so I think he'll be a useful player in the league, but I think he's probably going to be more of a smaller role player for a while till he figures out what his niche really is.
You think he'll go to some team and become a very good player?
Well, that's kind of the Minnesota way.
I know it is the Minnesota way. Okay, before we get to trivia, we have to touch base on the Vikings. We have a superstar quarterback by the name of J.J. McCarthy.
Could we just play the Commanders every week? So, folk, I will say this with my full chest. Full credit to J.J. McCarthy for pulling it together and playing well against one of the worst defenses in modern NFL history.
So is it a sample size?
they lost both of their, Washington lost both of their best edge rushers to injury. They lost both of their starting cornerbacks to injury. But still, you have to make the throws, which he had not done to this point. And he made some good throws, got rid of the ball more quickly, made better decisions, and the defense played great. So all you can do is play who's on your schedule. And
we're going to find out how good they are. We play Dallas, who's a pretty good team.
Dallas is a good team.
On national TV.
Sunday. Oh, really? It's a Sunday night game? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're not very good at nationally televised games.
We'll see. It was really nice to see Van Ginkle playing at full speed and healthy again. You know, disrupted a lot of things, got an interception.
It was nice to see a running game. That's what helped McCarthy.
Yep. So hope springs eternal, apparently.
Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time for trivia. Okay. Megan is off today, which is too bad. I sent her a photo of this. She has the day off because Scott has included her in this. It's the topic today is famous athletes named Megan, Kyle, Fred, and John. For example, Jim Thorpe is not named Megan, Fred, Kyle, or John.
That's like anti-trivia.
I know. First question, co-captain of the U.S. national team that won Olympic gold and two FIFA World Cup championships. FIFA Women's Player of the Year in 2019.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yep, Rapinoe.
Rapinoe, thank you.
Former Timberwolf nickname Slow-Mo.
Kyle Anderson.
I didn't know that.
College and Pro Football Hall of Fame receiver, MVP of the 1977 Super Bowl against the Vikings.
Biletnikoff.
Fred Biletnikoff.
Yes. Boy, with enthusiasm, yeah.
Left-hander for three World Series winning teams, the Red Sox in 2007 and 2013, and the Cubs in 2016.
John Lester.
Yes.
Oh, John, nice job.
This one is Fred for Fred is the next question. Hall of Fame outfielder for the Louisville Colonels and Pittsburgh Pirates between 1894 and 1915.
Oh, my.
Did you say an outfielder, or what did you say?
I said an outfielder, yep.
For Louisville and Pittsburgh.
It's a Fred for Fred question, he says.
Fred Fred Clark.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, my gosh. Thought he was going to say Fred Lynn. Thought he was going to be off.
An All-American at SMU and All-Pro halfback and wide receiver for the New York Giants in the 1950s.
John Capolito. No.
Sounds like Kyle Rote, R-O-T-E.
There we go.
Oh.
Megan Gendrick is a two-time Olympic gold medalist and world record holder in what sport? Oof. Megan Gendrick. I know, hold back on the Olympic trivia there, Fred.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Pole vault.
I'm going to say cycling.
Swimming. Breaststroke. Oh. And these two connected for 331 pass receptions in 9 seasons with the Baltimore Colts.
John Unitas.
And Raymond Berry.
Ray Berry.
Nope, no, we need the name.
And
don't say it can't be Ray. It can't be
Johnny.
John Mackey.
Yes.
No, John Mackey.
Here's an extra credit. Heidi Weng of Norway is a 4-time world champion in what sport?
Pole vault.
It's got to be skiing.
Yeah.
Cross-country skiing.
There we go. Thank you for holding back again, Fred.
Hey, the Winter Olympics are just 2 months away, Heidi.
You and me, buddy.
You got that lazy boy just ready to watch all day, aren't you, Fred?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
See you, folks.
Thanks, Kyle. You get to take a cookie on your way out there.
All right.
Yeah, no kid.
Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and we've got more texts coming in about soap on a rope and perfumes and all of that.
Do you remember soap on a rope, Kyle? Be honest.
Yeah, vaguely.
Okay. Yeah.
Vaguely.
For KAXC News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has fined a Bovee man more than $20,000 for filling in a wetland. The agency says he placed more than 9,000 square feet of unpermitted fill in a wetland near Trout Lake in Itasca County. Investigators with the PCA say Vekic also engaged in unpermitted stormwater construction activities in 2024. Investigators found 250 square feet of sediment from the filled wetland discharged into nearby Trout Lake. Vekic's penalty is in response to numerous PCA rules violations, including failing to install sediment controls, failing to obtain several permits, or develop a stormwater pollution prevention plan. The MPCA considers how seriously the violations affected or could have affected the environment when calculating penalties, it says in a release. The agency also attempts to recover the economic benefit entities gain by failing to comply with environmental laws in a timely manner. The field of Republican candidates vying to be the next governor of Minnesota is growing with MyPillow founder Mike Lindell. Lindell was a leading amplifier of President Donald Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was stolen, leading to litigation with Dominion voting machines and financial setbacks. Lindell reportedly told the Associated Press ahead of his Thursday announcement that he has a record of solving problems and personal experiences to help fight addiction and homelessness. Lindell did not commit on whether he would abide by the Minnesota GOP endorsement and forgo the primary if he loses it. Party caucuses are coming up on February 3rd. Other Republicans in the race include Minnesota House Speaker Lisa Daymuth, former state senator and 2022 governor candidate Scott Jensen, State Representative Kristen Robbins, defense lawyer Chris Medell, and former executive Kendall Qualls. No Republican has won a statewide office in Minnesota since 2006, but the state has a history of making some unexpected choices, like when former wrestler Jesse Ventura was elected governor in 1998. U.S. farmers have until December 19th to gather details for federal aid meant to offset losses spurred by the Trump administration's tariffs and other financial pressures. And a Minnesota-based expert said despite short-term relief, big problems aren't going away. This week, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a $12 billion relief package as some farmers struggle to stay afloat due to a declining export market linked to expanded tariffs. Similar payments were issued during the heightened trade war in Donald Trump's first presidency. Ben Lilliston, Director of Rural Strategies and Climate Change at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, said a quick infusion of aid can ease some pressure, but does not get to the bottom of how expensive it is to farm these days.
It doesn't address the underlying problems. And really, the big one is increased costs. And many of those costs are associated with these tariffs. So higher prices for machinery, for crop inputs.
The Institute says payments under the first Trump White House were not easy to access for small to mid-sized farms. Payment rates for the new aid are not yet public, but Lilliston added it is frustrating beef and dairy producers are not included since costs are higher for them too. The Trump administration insists the latest payments will help adjust rising expenses for covered commodities, along with price volatility. The USDA pointed to provisions in legislation known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, meant to help farmers in the coming year, and positive trade developments with countries like China. Lilliston countered tariff unpredictability has hurt America's reputation on the global front, with agriculture losing ground in the fallout.
Many of the agreements that they are touting aren't actually trade agreements. They are sort of tentative promises to do certain things in the future, but they're not written down. We have yet to see actual text of a trade agreement, including with China.
Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for this story. MnDOT's Name a Snowplow contest is back for the sixth year. The agency selects eight creative name ideas each year, one for each MnDOT district. You can submit one name idea until noon December 19th. MnDOT will select finalists and invite the public to vote on their favorites in January. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXC News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
It's 8:36. You're tuned in to the morning show here on KAXE. We're People Powered. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Jennifer Barr is going to be joining us in a few moments to answer John's burning questions.
We want to thank Itasca Orchestra and Strings Program. Program's Family Christmas on Saturday the 20th at 4 p.m. at the Rife Center, bringing the snowman to life with a film projection and live orchestra music to accompany. Tickets and information available at itascaorchestra.org/events.
I want to tell you about a few things going on this weekend in our community of northern Minnesota. The Pine River Parade of Lights is tomorrow, 5 p.m. There's a theme of a Charlie Brown Christmas. There'll be a bonfire and fireworks after the parade. Christmas at a logging camp at the Forest History Center in Grand Rapids with horse-drawn sleigh rides, carols with the Greenway Raiders singers, bonfires, sledding, and more. And tomorrow, Apple Blossom Village Nature School in Bemidji has a winter fair fundraiser at Rail River Folk School. From 10 to 2, a craft and bake sale, homemade soup and bread available for lunch. 3 to 5, head outside to the yurts for crafts, outdoor play, and walk the spiral of light.
Did you mention the Mary Tuba Christmas concert?
No.
On this Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Rock Ridge Performing Arts Center in Virginia, and Scott Hall will be there. I think he might be emceeing.
Deerwood Technologies has an electronics recycling drive tomorrow from 10 to 2. They will accept computers, fax machines, phones, and Christmas lights. The drive will help fund scholarships for area youth, probably your Palm Pilots and your Blackberries as well, right? Jennifer Bard joins us now because you heard the question coming from John.
Well, I heard you talking about gingerbread houses and how you do it.
Have you ever made one?
I've made them out of, the kits you can get in the store these days. I've done that once.
Okay.
I've also done the graham cracker.
Oh.
Where you use this icing graham cracker houses, which
sure.
I want to say it was pre-constructed for me, like at a church event when I was young. They would have the houses ready and then you could decorate them.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And then one year my dad just did we did a Sara Lee pound cake and then we made that look like a house. A rambler house.
Yes.
So my question was, do you bake the gingerbread in like rectangles and architectural pieces? And the cookie book you have from the 40s.
1963.
It shows a cutout of cardboard that must then be laid upon by gingerbread, right?
Well, this is just using cardboard and then you slather it with frosting and then put decorations. So it's not so much
edible, really.
But it's really pretty.
Okay.
But you could probably use these same dimensions if you were to actually bake gingerbread in a sheet pan. But it has the little pattern of how to do it, cut it out, dimensions, everything. The roof, 9.5 inches on each side.
Don't you think John would totally dig this? I mean, the precision and the blueprints.
Well, it would be, but I just don't know how. I wish someone would call in and say they actually made one architecturally with gingerbread.
What,
you know what I mean?
Why do you think they're making without gingerbread?
Well, this is cardboard.
Oh, I see.
This is cardboard, and it's decorated, so that's not necessarily even eaten. I'm talking about...
And this is very specific. They're telling you what you can use, you know, 2 pounds chocolate-covered cream wafer sticks for the bricks, for the walls. You use for the chimney, you need a small package of pink patty mints, shaved to make one side flat. So this is very... it would take you a long time. At least it would take me
no
a long
kidding.
Time.
And is that Nilla wafers and the...
Yeah, Nilla wafers for shingles.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful picture. They actually even have like a little chocolate-covered animal cracker out in the yard for like a little dog. It's actually a little kitty too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, little kitty.
So yeah, if somebody wanted to do that. But I love this cookie book because it's got glorious pictures. And
it does.
Glorious. So that's great.
My mom always had this in the cookbook drawer when I was a kid, and I would sit with my friend... And we would pore over this book and just say, I want that one. I want that one.
Is this your mom's or is this one you found?
So I found this copy at a Goodwill store in Hibbing a long time ago. But it is pre-loved. It's got the little pencil marks from the woman who owned it.
God. So like
the recipe for Wheaties nut drops, it says, try baking as soon as mixed. Wheaties may get soggy if chilled. And then like she said, it's okay.
Hold on. Wheaties nut drops?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not, that one didn't stick.
Yeah, she said it was just okay. And the oatsies, she wrote, sticks to bottom of pan. So like, you know, helpful notes.
Yeah.
My mom always does that too with recipes. She'll mark like, I made this, it's good. Or like, this was not good.
I just have like stains, butter stains on all my cookbooks.
This
and
is slightly
like
stained
that.
Too
yep.
with
I
the,
love
the
it.
Fingerprints and yeah.
But it's so 1960s photography. Where
it
you,
is.
You know what I mean? It's kind of. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And they're just glorious little pictures. I mean, it's these Christmas scenes with the Christmas tree and the cookie plates. And then they tell you on each, you know, there's a little diagram. Okay, these are the Krumkakas. These are the Zuckerhuten. These are the Berlinkanser. So, like, it tells you.
Berlinkansers.
And, in fact, I'm looking at Nancy Shaw's cookie plate here. And these delicate little wafer cookies with the colored
That's what
frosting.
I had.
They are on this page in the cookie book. They're called cream wafers in this book.
Oh, cream wafer. Okay.
Yep. We just got a text in from Liz from the Tamarack Amusement Center, and it's an event going on until January 3rd in the Twin Cities at the Norway House. It's their Gingerbread Wonderland. You can go look at. The photos are amazing. So, and then you can also register your own build, and there's recipes and design templates available through this.
Okay, so then... Then at some point, a gingerbread house, you destroy it, right? Eat it.
Yeah, you either eat it or like this one made of cardboard. I mean, I don't really want to pick vanilla wafers off.
No, I know that.
Eat.
Yeah, but a real one, you'd want
to... I feel like gingerbread houses are really, are they to be eaten ever? I mean, obviously without the cardboard, but I don't think they're an eating thing. They're a beautiful decoration.
Well, it's a waste then. You must have to break it down. Heidi, you've been watching the Hallmark Channel. You should know this. Do they eat them?
They sometimes like
they might eat the roof or the chimney or the dog
actually,
in front.
Often they don't because they're in a competition, you know, with the someone they were in love with in high school, and they
the kit we got that one year, it had, you know, 4 little houses that you had to construct, and then you decorated them. The cookie part of it was not good. I mean, it just wasn't tasty.
I know. That's what I feel like. They're to look at, and they look good. I love, like...
And you throw it away.
See little gumdrops, and I'm going to show you the photos from this. Look for norwayhouse.org, and it's their gingerbread wonderland. It's beautiful. And if you are if you construct gingerbread houses each year, you can register yours at the Norway House. Very cool. Jennifer, if you want to, we're going to be talking movies and TV shows next because our mom of pop culture is joining us right now from downtown Meadowlands. Good morning, Julie. You're on the mutes. Do you think Julie's ever...
is she there?
Made the, she is. Has she ever made the gingerbread? Let's have a little wager going
on
here.
No chance.
Really?
So. Zero chance.
Julie?
Easy, big boy.
You could have said
he's on the Zoom if you want to.
Oh, okay.
Log in there. Okay.
I believe I attempted one when my kids were little, And I think of it as an eating thing because it's, I think it's supposed to be. Because look at, so I used to make gingerbread men. Now I think my daughter still does. I make zero cookies. Then you'd bite the head off or bite an arm off, you know, type of thing. So you did eat the cookies.
Okay.
I mean, the gingerbread.
The house.
Eventually. You have to keep it admiring it through Christmas, I believe. And then you'd, you know, eat.
But doesn't it get a little stale if it's just sitting out?
Yeah, but tradition. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, imagine the gumdrop, you know, on the top, how stale that would be. It'd just be hard as a rock.
Yeah. See, to me, I'm sorry. I'm just going to. It just seems like such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it was your old boyfriend and you were competing, you'd do it. Come on.
I can't walk that. Well, we called
you for a couple of reasons or wanted you to join us. We're going to talk movies and TV series and stuff like that. But first, any memories you have of like Gina Tay, Soap on a Rope, any of that stuff we were talking Charlie. About earlier. Do you remember Soap on a Rope?
Okay, I'm glad I made a little list here. Okay. So Soap on a Rope, I always think of as when you're like, say, 10, 11, something like that, and you've got your first Christmas money to buy your parents or siblings a gift, and they drop you off at, say, Kmart.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking at it now. I've got this much money, and I need to save enough to buy me a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to go for the Soap on a Rope because that costs $3, you know, type of situation. It was always the throwaway gift for your dad.
Right.
And I truly believe that it would hang on the shower nozzle, but never get used.
Right. Was it so it didn't hit the ground?
Well, here's what my brother sent in, because he's the one that received it every year from Ina. He said he thought it was because so the soap wouldn't dissolve when it's in a tray or shelf in the shower.
Oh, it's slimy.
That's a great point.
And I gave him one that was locally made soap. They were doing like a nostalgic thing. And it's a cedar one. He sent me a photo of it because he's kept it. He hasn't, he hasn't soaped it up or anything. But that one is great for the sauna. And it's a cedar almond. So he's got that hanging in his closet, which makes his clothes smell good.
Oh, jeez, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Now, there you go.
And we just got a text coming in right now, too, from Jen from Shevlin. She said, the first time we made gingerbread houses when the kids were little, after we were done with them, we took them out to the chickens. Oh. The birds went crazy, pecking the houses apart and looked like mini dinosaurs doing it. Fun for all.
A caller
too just said, after the kids have eaten the candy off the gingerbread house, cover it with peanut butter and birdseed, put it outside for more fun.
There's a reason to make a gingerbread house.
And Lisa says, John, have you never seen Martha Stewart Holiday Show?
No.
Gingerbread house episode? I'd say that it's fairly architectural.
I would say so too.
Beautiful to stick it outside for birds.
Mm-hmm. But is
okay. Okay. Two other things. Yeah. That then we'll the move list. On to a couple of movies that I've watched is the Spritz cookies. Here's the only caveat I have, because John, they are my favorite too.
Yeah.
And my daughter now has taken over Christmas cookie doing, and they make like a triple recipe, and her husband does the squeezing because it is pesky. And here's the only caveat I have about that. If there's even the slightest hint of brown on the bottom of that cookie, I ain't eating it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah,
it's got to be soft and just melt in your mouth, and butter is everything. Heidi, I don't believe that you did not know that the best butter is the best butter.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I get sort of cheap. Julie's joining us via Zoom, and we are flaunting the plate of cookies from Nancy Shaw.
Well, I pray that there'll be one, maybe two left on Saturday for cheese.
We'll make that happen.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking
of that, Betsy, my sister, is famous for her Christmas crack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she will be bringing some in.
Oh, great.
And leaving it for the staff.
Well, explain the crack.
The crack is like So you take a saltine, you know, get the cheap stuff. You lay it out in a pan. You make some the caramel with, you know, you melt the and make caramel. Then you throw that on the top, and then you put semi-sweet chocolate chips on, and while it's hot, and then you freeze it outside, then you break it apart.
Ooh, bars,
it is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit of movies and TV shows. We have been remiss, Julie, in catching up.
And I've been remiss. I've watched a lot this year, and I went through the whole retrospective when Robert Redford died. I watched all of like 7-8 movies like that in a row, and that was wonderful. I just watched a couple of things this week. One last night is Train Dreams. Do you know about this movie?
Train Dreams, Heidi?
Train Dreams.
No, never heard of it.
Oh, it's on, I believe, Netflix, and it is just a gorgeous, beautiful American movie of the early days when they're of logging in the in Idaho, about a young man, and he finds a woman and a wife that he's madly in love with, but he has to go out during the logging season every year so they can cut down trees and you know, put up the tracks for the upcoming railroad. And there's a whole lot to say about so many things, but it's quietly one of the most lovely movies I've ever seen. And at the end, you just sit there in silence and you kind of weep because it's just so beautiful. And the cinematography is great. The acting, Joel Edgerton, he's wonderful. Will Patton narrates it. I can't recommend it highly enough. 10 out of 10. Then a couple of days ago, I watched Caught Stealing. And that's with Austin Butler, who played Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. And he's in this movie. And it's a movie about, money, a heist that goes awry. And it's funny. Austin, I got to say this about Austin Butler. He's a very good looking young man, but almost too pretty. You know what I mean? And then there's a cat in this movie too. It's virtually a co-star. And so there's a lot of, you know, backstabbing and getting the goods and then giving up the goods. And then I defy you to spot Ray Donovan. I can't think of his actor's name. Let's see. Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio. And
No, I know who you're talking about too. Was married to Naomi Watts.
Yep. Him. Red.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Betsy's going to be texting in here in just a second, I'm sure, to tell me
who
it is. But that's a really fun movie. I give it a solid 7.5 to 8 because it's so much fun to watch.
Liev Schreiber. Spot.
Yeah, Liev Schreiber. Okay, that's it. Ooh. Anyway, I had quit watching for a while, but in recent days, South Park is back. And it's so funny. It's so bad. It's so bad and so good on so many levels. And it holds its own. And nobody's getting trouble here. But yeah.
Fired.
Hey, yeah.
Julie, I hate to beat this. Have you watched Slow Horses?
Oh, my good Lord. I'm saving them all up because I cannot. I'm sorry. I used to think I could wait a week. I can't. And I watched everyone since the beginning. Oh. And also I read the book, and it is one of the finest TV shows. And Gary Oldman, I think I talked about this once a couple of years ago when I first started watching. Gary Oldman
is worth watching. Can he win an award? You can't win an Academy Award for
It'd probably be a Golden Globe.
A Golden Globe.
Or Emmy, yeah. Right? Wouldn't he be up for an Emmy?
Oh, or an Emmy. Emmy, yeah. Emmy, Emmy's, yeah. Emmy's a good one. We'll see how all this changes during this big brouhaha coming with the Netflix buying Warner Brothers or not. I have no idea how this is going to play out, but I sadly think it'll be just more money for all of us.
Yeah.
And it will. Eventually. But there's a couple of TV shows worth watching. E Pluribus, that's with Rhea Seehorn. She was in Better Call Saul. And I think there's a, I think I already talked about all of these before. So Stranger Things is back. I am not going to watch it for all sorts of reasons because, well, it's been on hiatus for, I don't know, what, 10 years? No, probably something in the neighborhood of 4 or 5. And these kids, quote, are like 30. So,
and no, I thought that the last season was a little too scary for me, a little too horror movie.
Was it?
Which
I kind of liked it because it was scary. Also the other thing I watched is I kind of like the scary part, Jennifer. A lot of people don't, but I do like the scary part. It's sort of a mashup of a bunch of different monsters, but. I did watch something with my granddaughter called Arcane. It's an anime show, and it's about the haves and the have-nots, a class system, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Huh.
Arcane.
Where's that? Where's
there's
that?
That you can watch on Netflix. And it's only 2 seasons exist, and it's going to become sort of a universe, like a Legends universe, like MC and DC Comics shows. But this thing is very serious. And the 2 lead women are knockout, and really worth watching every single minute. The first one was made like 6 years ago, the first season. So the new one came out this year, the second season. So we binged the entire thing, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
All right.
A lot of plot holes, but the cast is incredible behind it.
Julie, we'll have to catch up off air because we don't want to spoil anything, but thoughts in general on the latest season of The Morning Show on Apple?
You know, I really like it this year. Last year, oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Heidi. That was the other one I was going to mention, is The Morning Show got really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was irritated with it in the last season because it's on Jennifer Aniston and I have a cute boyfriend. Sorry, over it. But it gets heavy this year, mm-hmm. and I can't say enough about the woman who plays Stella in this.
Yeah.
And Reese Witherspoon is pretty darn good here. And Billy Crudup steals the show each and every time he's on.
I don't know. Jeremy Irons was pretty great to have him show up.
I will say that too.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do that stinks, Jeremy Irons.
The Marie Cotard, the French actress.
Oh, Cotard. Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
Cotard.
My gosh. She's great in it too. So, she's we won't give it away.
Give it away. But man, I can't recommend it more highly. Netflix, binge all the seasons and get right caught up.
Apple Plus for Morning Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Apple Plus. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Is there going to be, do we know if that one's done or is there more seasons coming?
No, there's going to be another one. They could. Yeah, I read it right after I saw the last episode. It came out that they were going to have a season 5.
I thought it was kind of interesting in the news reports coming out about Netflix buying Warner Brothers and all that stuff. One of the main names they're talking about is somebody Ellison. And so I'm wondering if it's based on the
Larry. That'd be Larry Ellison.
I don't think it's Larry. But is that based on the Billy Crudup? Billy Crudup's Corey Ellison.
No. If it is, it's loosely. Larry Ellison is the father. It's his son that owns everything.
I gotcha. All right.
And it's they're not good people.
All right. So Julie and Betsy tomorrow night on the green cheese in the cold. People need it, Julie's.
We're gonna warm you up with some red hot trivia, friends.
All right.
And don't forget the crack.
Yeah.
And we'll leave.
Don't worry.
We'll leave you some cookies.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks, Julie.
Coming up, it's DJ Dang for Headwaters, and that's followed by Minnesota Mixtape with Malachi Coons.
We'd like to thank Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. OakHillSeniors.com. We also want to thank Northern Lights Nordic Ski Club, a member-supported nonprofit whose mission is to promote cross-country skiing as a healthy family activity with volunteers who groom and maintain area trails, membership information, trail maps, and more available at NorthernLightsNordic.org.
We got some more texts coming in. Cookies, soap on a rope. Katie was listening.